This week, days of deadly violence in one of Africa's most stable democracies, sparked by a prison sentence handed down to opposition leader Ousmane Sonko. Is Senegal at a political turning point? What do recent events mean for the country's stability and next year's presidential election? We'll bring you reporting and analysis. Straight Talk Africa starts now.
Hello there and welcome to Straight Talk Africa, coming to you from VOA's headquarters in Washington. I'm Heidi Adams. Thank you so much for joining us. Senegal is trying to pick up the pieces following days of deadly violence that gripped the capital, Dakar. The country has long been recognized as one of the most stable democracies on the African continent. But clashes broke out between police and protesters last Thursday after opposition leader Ousmane Sonko was sentenced to 2 years in prison. He was convicted of, quote, corrupting youth, but acquitted of rape. Sonko and his supporters say the charges are part of a government plot to bar him from running in next year's presidential election. President Macky Sall has been in power since 2012. His second term ends in 2024. But there are worries the president is eyeing a third term in office. With elections just about 8 months away, President Sall has remained mum on his political plans. Meanwhile, people in Dakar are counting the cost of the deadly unrest in recent days. Reuters reporter David Doyle has more.
El Hadji Cisse spent Friday sending hundreds of tweets as riots erupted in Senegal's capital, Dakar. In one, he warned his followers that security forces were firing live rounds at protesters. Hours later, the 26-year-old was shot and killed. His death was one of at least 16 in Senegal's deadliest unrest in decades. His younger brother, Djimbala Ba, described Cissé as a good patriot.
If I say good patriot, I mean a good Senegalese. He was a good Senegalese who knew his rights and demonstrated them on the networks. He was very well known on Twitter.
Ba and three friends say Cissé was shot in the shoulder by security forces. He was yards from his home, having returned from the mosque. Cissé died in hospital. Security forces deny firing on protesters or using excessive force. But Cissé's Twitter profile that day serves as a mirror to the chaos and anger unleashed outside the walls of his compound. In some posts, he railed against a partial internet shutdown. In another, he offered first aid tips. Ba says Cissé was also helping on the ground as tear gas filled the streets.
It was El Hadji who helped an old man. He brought him here to us, gave him cream so that the old man could breathe. He was the one helping the elderly that day.
Senegal's protests erupted after opposition leader Ousmane Sonko was handed a 2-year jail sentence. That potentially bars him from standing in next year's presidential elections. Sonko's supporters say the charges were politically motivated. They accuse President Macky Sall of seeking to sideline his opponents as well as failing to improve living standards or provide jobs. Thousands have taken to the streets. Cars and buildings have been set ablaze, supermarkets and gas stations ransacked, rocks hurled at security forces. Police have responded with tear gas and what rights groups described as excessive force. The government says 500 people have been arrested. Last week, Sall launched a national dialogue aimed at calming tensions. 2 nights after Cissé died, thousands of Senegalese Sufis gathered at a beachside mosque. They prayed through the night for peace in the country and justice for the victims. Ba stayed at home, struggling with the hole left by Cissé's death. His brother is someone he would spend all day with. It's impossible for me, he says. It's impossible to forget.
And that's David Doyle from Reuters reporting there. Now, for more on what's happening in Senegal and the personalities shaping the political landscape in that country, I'm joined here in studio by Abdourahmane Dia. He's the managing editor of VOA's French to Africa news service. Abdou, a warm welcome here to you to Straight Talk Africa. Please give us an idea of what is going on in the country right now. I mean, what is the latest? What do we know about where Ousmane Sonko is and whether he's likely to be arrested soon?
Well, thank you for having me, Heidi. Let's say that I was actually talking to VOA Afrique reporter in Dakar because there were reports that the security around Sonko's house has been lightened, but he told me that he's somewhere around the Sonko's house, and the police is still heavily present there. So those reports seem to be false, and he is still in his house. We cannot call it house arrest because it is not, but he cannot apparently leave his house. He's still not arrested despite the sentencing of 2 years in prison. So, but the situation is there. He's still in his house. Apparently, he cannot move.
This is interesting. Can you tell us a little bit more about the dynamics at play here? The protests that we saw that broke out last Thursday, we saw over the weekend, things are quiet now. But, I mean, I'm sure this was a huge shock to the country. As you've confirmed to me, people are completely just dumbfounded by how this happened. But what does that say about these protests? Were they a complete surprise? Was this unexpected? Or was this a long time coming?
Senegalese like to see their country as, you know, the best, the most beautiful country in the world. And in a lot of sense, it is, actually, because we haven't been experiencing a lot of violence. The truth is, though, usually in pre-electoral period, you know, in period before the elections, there is always tension. We have seen that in 2012. We have seen that before in 1988. There was the state of emergency after the election because the opposition leader at the time, Abdoulaye Wade, basically did not accept the results. And so violence is not something new, but the level of violence that we have seen last week, at least in my lifetime, I think it is a first. And you are right, it's been a shock for a lot of people. Is it a long time coming? Yes and no, because it goes beyond politics, according to many. If you look at sports events, soccer games, when usually they end up in a lot of cases in brawls, wrestling matches also end in a lot of brawls. So there is something going on beyond politics, and that's why a lot of people are saying this is not only about Sonko or people feeling that he's unfairly targeted for political purposes. It is a Senegalese society that people need to look at what is going on beyond politics.
And it's so interesting that you talked about this is unlike something you have seen in your lifetime, as we just saw in the story earlier by David Doyle, that it seems there is an entire generation for whom this is something out of the ordinary.
Absolutely.
To see violence to this extent. But I want to take a quick look at the two men who appear to be at the center of what is going on in the country right now. Let's start with President Macky Sall. He is now in his second term. He came to power in 2012. How is he perceived by his supporters? And what do his critics think of him?
Well, his supporters see him as a fighter, someone who is very consistent, in a hard worker. He's a geological engineer. And they credit him for all of this infrastructure, you know, being built in Dakar. If you go to Dakar, it is true that, you know, if you haven't been there for years, you can see the change. And that started actually under former President Abdoulaye Wade, whom he worked for also. He was his prime minister. He headed the parliament there. So his supporters credit him even part of what Abdoulaye Wade has done. So they see him as someone who is a hard worker. His critics, although they acknowledge this part when it comes to, you know, the infrastructure, are saying that he's someone who is not very open to dialogue. And basically, they think he's the reason why Senegal is stagnating, is seen as stagnating in terms of civil liberties and democracy. So in that term, really people who are not with him are very critical. And a lot of people think that at this time we shouldn't be talking even about, whether he should run for a third term or not. That's what the critics are saying. Now, when it comes to Sonko, his supporters see him as someone who is new, who is not like a normal politician as we used to see. First of all, he's young compared to the other politician. He's 48. If you look at the dialogue that the reporter was talking about in the beginning of in this piece, most of them were in their 60s and 70s. And in Senegal, the population is basically very young. 70% are very young. So they identify themselves with Sonko. Also, his speech about, how Senegal and Africa should be more independent toward France especially, is sovereign, it should be sovereign toward the West. So that is something that speaks to a lot of young people in Africa. His critics, of course, are saying he's too radical and he doesn't have the experience. So that's depending on who you talk to, they will see Sonko as someone who either is very open to what the future should look like, not necessarily, always being with the West, even though he clarified that he's not anti-West. He just wants more independence and having African countries choosing for their own way. But his critics are saying he's just too radical.
It's very interesting because when you look at the dimensions to the man that is President Macky Sall, we've seen so many other leaders credited and criticized for almost the same things, for bringing about economic development and at the same time stymieing criticism and free speech inside the country. But then also at the same time, there is this other element of opposition, an opposition leader who is popular, who is youthful, perceived to be younger and representing a different generation. This is all very interesting. Where do you think things are going, very briefly, things are going to go from here? The president has not said anything yet about the violence, right?
Not publicly, yes. And that's one of the criticisms that we hear, that a lot of people think that he should be talking right now. He hasn't done so. We'll see what's going to happen. It is very quiet right now. It doesn't mean that that's the end of it, because Sonko hasn't been arrested yet. What will happen if he is? And what if he's not arrested? What would it say about the justice system? So there's no easy solution here. There's no easy way out. That is why people are still nervous. And I guess we're just going to have to wait and see.
Well, the election's not far away. 8 months, a short time in the world of politics. Abdourahmane Dia, thank you so much. Abdourahmane is from VOA's French to Africa News Service. A big thank you to you. Stay with us here on Straight Talk Africa. We'll continue this discussion. A popular opposition figure facing arrest and imprisonment. A president potentially eyeing a third term. Where does Senegal go from here? And what does this mean for the future of what's been known as the gateway to West Africa? Our analysts are standing by. We'll get into all of that after the break.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
Health, wellness, sport, beauty, medical breakthroughs. Healthy Living cares about your well-being. What are the main health concerns in Africa and around the world? Find out the latest on coronavirus. Connect with our experts and ask them questions.
How long does the virus stay?
Join me, Lino Khmudu, in Washington, every week on Healthy Living. Right here on VOA.
With Straight Talk Africa, welcome back. A popular opposition figure facing arrest, a president potentially eyeing a third term, and a cautious calm in the capital following days of deadly clashes between protesters and police. How serious is the situation in Senegal, the country historically known as the gateway to West Africa? Is that country at a political turning point? I'm joined now by analyst Rama Sala Dieng. She's a lecturer in African Studies and International Development at the University of Edinburgh. She joins us from Senegal's capital, Dakar, and also with us is René Laque. He's a political analyst, and he's right here in Washington. Rama and René, a warm welcome to you both. Now, of course, René, what we've been seeing here in recent days has been eye-opening. It's been shocking, disturbing. Ousmane Sonko is one of the men at the heart of what's going on. He maintains that he's innocent of the charges against him. He says they are a part of a political ploy to derail his candidacy ahead of the polls next year. Now, of course, Sonko has had various other trial dates over the last 2 years, and we've seen protests then, often violent ones as well, flare up on those at those times as well. Should Ousmane Sonko go to jail, he would not just be the first opposition leader, of course, to be imprisoned and barred from running in a presidential election, but what makes what we're seeing now, and in this case, more worrying than what we've seen in the past?
Yeah, I think one of the key issues here is the repetition of history. And you said it yourself, in 2017, we have had the same situation where Khalifa Sall, who was at the time the mayor of Senegal, was basically put in jail by Macky Sall, the actual president, because he was his main opponent politically. So this idea of the instrumentalization, the use of the judicial system for political purpose, is something which has been around for 5-6 years as people were criticizing Macky Sall. So I think that the reason that why it's so violent this time, because people are saying, oh, you did it once, you can't do it again a second time. And every time you do it about a year or two before the election. So that, I guess, the reason why is so strong. But the second one, I would say, is the popularity of Ousmane Sonko among the youth in Senegal.
And that's actually where I want to pick up on for my next question, René. Ousmane Sonko appears to have tapped into some frustrations amongst young people. Of course, you know, he seems to have really seen and picked up on that, of course, young people frustrated with conditions inside the country. But as a sort of an overview, could you give us an idea of what the political fault lines are in the country right now?
You see, one of the issues you have in Senegal, and is you can see that in the other West African, especially French-speaking West African countries, is there is a sentiment of kind of, we can say anti-Western. There is a reaction to what is perceived as six decades of controlling of their economy, the governance in those countries, especially by France. And so there is a requirement, at least expressed by the youth, and even sometime even older people, at least from the left side, saying that, okay, listen, this impact and this control of France towards the economy of those countries has been went too far, and we need to change that. And I think that's one of the key reasons. And Sonko is able to carry that message, and so it has a pretty strong impact.
I'm going to come back to sort of the economic situation, but Rama, I want to bring you in here. How is Senegal, how is the nation processing the events of recent days inside the country at the moment?
Thank you so much, Heidi. I think there is a lot of sorrow, a lot of anger, a lot of discontent right now. People are still trying to process what has been happening. We are asking ourselves, how did we arrive at this situation? And everyone is trying to find who are the guilty people for the situation. Some are pointing the government. Others are pointing to the direction of the protesters. So I think there is no clear, we are in a phase. How have we been able to arrive where we are? But a lot of anger at the government, right?
Renee, we've seen inflation, food prices have risen in Senegal, as they have, of course, in many parts of the world. But this is also an economy that has seen growth and increased investment in recent years. I mean, I follow a lot of events around how Senegal projects itself to the rest of the world. And it really does send out this message, in my view, at least, of this is a place where you can come and do business. It's a welcoming nation. It prides itself and its stability, and it really does appear to the outside world that way. The country has managed to maintain its reputation as the stable, consolidated democracy and a desirable destination for foreign direct investment. But what have ordinary citizens been able to see come of this or reap from this success?
Yeah, in fact, not only all those points you just made, but even in the international development field, when you ask, if you go with USAID, you go with the French International Assistance Agency, wherever you go around Western and industrialized countries, one of the first destination all those experts want to go is Senegal. It's basically Senegal or Nairobi in the other side of the continent. So Senegal is sure a country where is the living style, the level of comfort is pretty high, when especially when you are a foreigner and you have some means. But that's one side of the image. The other side of the image is the situation is very difficult for a lot of people. The level of unemployment is extremely high. Abdurrahman mentioned earlier is 75% of the population is under 25 years old. So the situation is very difficult. The education system is basically crumbling. There is the access to public public school, university, and even forget about university, talk about high school or even elementary school is very low. So the question of the increase of poverty is it's a reality among the majority of the population. So you have some kind of almost a ghettoization of the big cities, and in particular Dakar. And when you go to Dakar today, that's something which is manifest. If you go just out of the nice areas like the Corniche and places like that, but you go inside the city, the situation is extremely difficult.
Rama, President Macky Sall has, of course, not yet announced that he will run for a third term. There's lots of speculation around that. He hasn't said he'll stand as the APR's candidate. But what are the chances that he will launch a bid for a third term?
Thank you. I think at the moment, everyone is anxious. Everyone is waiting because he's given all the signs that he might announce a third term bid and that the constitution doesn't allow him to do so. So all the acts that has been posed so far are pointing to that direction. It has been revealed that he has been consulting French constitutionalists in order for them to advise him on whether or not he can go for a third term bid. But for most of the Senegalese people right now, this is not even a question that we should be having. By the law, by the constitution, he cannot run for a third term. So trying to do so is just trying to circumvent the constitution and the law. And I think he is very short-minded because he's forgetting the very ways in which he arrived, he seized the power It was through contesting a third term from President Abdoulaye Wade. So right now, Senegalese are asking how come that history is repeating itself, and how come this very man, who has come to power under the condition that we know, are trying to reproduce the same unconstitutional arrangements.
Recurring dreams in the world of politics, right? René, what does President Macky Sall have to consider here? I mean, if he is considering a third term, what does he have to weigh? Because what exactly does he stand to gain, and what does he stand to lose should he go for a third term?
Yes, I mean, he has to lose a lot in my view in terms of his reputation. But more importantly, the biggest threat to him in my view is he may lose, and the probability for him to lose an election if he go for a third term, and especially with the actual environment, is pretty high. Every analyst will tell you he has very little chance to win. So why go to a third term going against the constitution and at the end of the day losing, just like Abdoulaye Wade lost in 2012? So I don't think it's a good way to exit the local, the national political scene. So that's one of the risky he has. Now, in the other end, if he doesn't take that chance to win, he's afraid that someone like Sonko will win, and that's a real existential threat for him. So he has to make up his mind in that regard. And I think that's why for the past 2-3 years, it has been pretty clear to someone like me, and I've been saying that for the past few years, for Macky Sall, the key issue is everybody but Sonko. That's the slogan, everybody but Sonko. So it seems to me that more importantly, that is he going to be to run for a third term or not? For him, what is the most important is Sonko should not be a candidate and will not be a candidate. And I think that for him, the most important. I personally never believe that he will try to run for a third term. I think it's more like he doesn't want to be a kind of a lame duck president. I think that is his main concern. So I do not believe that he's going to run again. But I may be totally wrong. Who knows?
And so, of course, this still remains the question in coming months, Rama. So there's the issue of the president potentially eyeing a third term. And then there's, of course, the other issue of Sonko's arrest. What else are we to look out for in the next few months? I mean, is there potential for violence in both cases? What is at stake for this nation in the next few months heading to the election?
I think in the next few months, and starting from now, because we've clearly seen the signs, we have to look at how violence has become so present in the political arena. Most of the time, or traditionally in Senegal, we have been using the rule of law, etc. And we need also to acknowledge that Senegal has been presented as an exception, Senegalese exception. But everything, and historically, everything is pointing out to the thing that politics as we used to do it is changing. Politics as we used to know it is changing. There is more and more a use of violence that should have been the monopoly of the state. But right now we are seeing a lot of violence in the streets, in the discourses, a lot of hate discourses, a lot of tensions. So I think we need to look at how how to safeguard what the constitution is standing for. We also need to look and prevent any further use of politicization of political violence, because that's what we've been seeing. How do we, by the law, we have a clear separation of powers.
Right.
That has safeguarded, and as citizens, I think it needs to be...
René and Rama, unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap it there, but thank you both for your time and for your insights, and that is, of course, where we leave our show for this week. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.